have the privilege of introducing a dear friend of mine. Amber and I met probably 3 or 4 years ago at a pastor's retreat up in the mountains of New Mexico, and her and her husband, Israel, are dear friends of our church, and in the process, dear friends of Brad and I's. And so Amber comes from San Antonio, Texas. Her and her husband, Israel, pastor a church there called La Iglesia del Señor, and they are a part of a church planting movement from Mexico. And so I don't know if she's going to share any about that, but if you catch her sometime, ask her some questions. Her and Israel met in 1999 and at a youth camp, so he's a little bit older than her. We won't say how much, and we won't tell Israel that he rocked the cradle. No, he really didn't. But Israel's a great man, and they have three precious babies. Their daughter Hannah's with us today. We're so glad you're here, Hannah, and could come with your mom. And then they have Joshua, who's 7, and then a baby, Daniel, and he is 15 months. And so she lives a busy life. So not only is she Israel's wife, she's also their worship leader. So we are so excited that she's here and she can teach us and impart to us the heart of worship. So I'm going to pray for Amber, and I just ask you to really, I know I've already said this, but just receive today. Just open up your heart and just let God do whatever he wants to and speak whatever he wants to you. I guarantee what Amber has, you want. So just say yes to that this morning. God, I thank you for Amber, and I thank you for the word that you've given to her today, God. And as a whole, Father, we agree with what you've placed on her heart, God. So, Father, inspire us, encourage us, and God, convict us. Lord, we want to grow today. Thank you for Amber, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. God is good. I am grateful, and I feel so honored to be here today. Thank you for the invitation. Julie, thank you, Harvest. We love Harvest. We feel so blessed to be able to call Harvest our friends. So we live in San Antonio, and just to be able to be not too far from amazing people who love God, it has been a true gift for us. And to be able to stand here today is a great responsibility, y'all. It's a big responsibility, but it is also an act of worship. And I want to start with a verse that has meant different things for me as I've walked my Christian walk. I became a Christian when I was 6. And this verse has been put to many children's songs. And it's Psalm 37:4. And it says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Well, of course, Psalm 37, it continues, right? But I kind of just stayed there because, you know, I was a child and I grew. And I remember that when I was an early teen, I loved this verse. And for me, it meant something completely different than what it means to me today. Taking delight in the Lord then meant having a jolly good old time in worship. Honestly, I thought that taking delight in God meant enjoying worship service, raising your hands, dancing, jumping up and down, just being free to worship God and loving this moment of worship. And I felt and I thought that that was taking delight in the Lord. But as I got older, this meant something completely different, and God began to show me what it really meant. And I think that I will continue to know what it really means until God calls me home. And I remember, I want to tell you about a time in my life when I was about 20 years old. I had gone to school for 2 years. Prior to this, before graduating from high school, I remember asking God a question that later on, I felt I could kick myself for asking him that question because he answered me. And I had, prior to that, had a wonderful time with God in his presence. For me, connecting with God through music has always been super powerful. I know there are different. I know different people connect with God's presence in a very different way. For me, music has been an instrument to connect into His presence, and I love it. And so before I got close to the end of my high school graduation, I was just having all sorts of amazing experiences with the presence of God through music. So either I was singing, or I was playing, or I was in worship service. Either I was ministering, or I was down receiving. But it was just powerful for me. When I got to be 20 years old, I found myself at a crossroads that was very uncomfortable. How many of you have ever found yourselves at a crossroads that's just not fun? Just like, you know, you need to make a decision, and you just know that that decision is going to impact the rest of your life. Is anybody with me? So I felt like I was at this crossroads, and this is what happened. Before I graduated from high school, I asked God, what should I major in? I don't know why I asked Him that, because I knew what I wanted to major in. I loved the hospitality industry, and I loved business, and I thought I wanted to do this for the rest of my life. I wanted to work at a hotel. I wanted to be a manager. I could see myself doing that, but God said something completely different to me, and I knew it was God, and I was very uncomfortable with that. He said, music. I said, music? I mean, yeah, I was in band, and I played the flute, and I loved music, but this is what was happening. When I had to, like, play in front of people, I did not do well. I did not like that. I did not like being in front of people. It made me very nervous. Like, honestly, it was something that I could do without. And I said, music? Okay, well, I can do music education. Yeah, I can teach children music. That would be fun. But even in music education, you have to stand and do recitals. And so I went into college. I said, okay, Lord, yes and amen. Start school. Recital time comes. Knees are knocking. Butterflies in my stomach. It was horrible. And I did 2 years of torture, too. At 20, I said, no more. I can't. This is horrible. I can't do this anymore. And I remember I had an aunt who lived in Las Vegas, Nevada, and she kept inviting me, come over to Las Vegas, come over to Las Vegas. You want to do hotel industry? There's tons of hotels here, and you can go to school, you can live with me. And I was 20 years old, and there was also a matter of a boy who wanted to marry, and I was just a wreck, nervous wreck. I was just afraid of making a decision. And so I decided, I spoke to my parents, spoke to my pastor, drove to Las Vegas. And in Las Vegas, I went with just a heart that was just so afraid of making a mistake. And I said, I know that if I choose this, and I know that if I go against you, God, you will still love me. I know that you will still take care of me and everything will be fine. But there is something very deep within me that wants to do your will. I want to surrender my will to you, God. And in this time in Vegas, Sin City, I'm a girl from El Paso, born and raised, go to Las Vegas. I said, I just want to do your will. I kind of need to get away from it all. I need to go, and I need for you to speak to me. And worship, during this time at 20, took on an entirely different meaning completely. And I remember one day, I was walking into a restroom downstairs. I had gotten 2 jobs, knocked on 1,000 doors to get a job at a hotel. No one called me. No one called me. And I worked at a hotel in El Paso. I had, you know, my resume, and I was just gung-ho about it. Nobody called me. I went downstairs. I had working 2 jobs, waiting for somebody to call me, knocking on doors, the doors that I thought were meant for me to be opened. And as I was walking downstairs, everybody had gone for the day, went down to the downstairs restroom. I walked in, and I walked into a thick cloud of the presence of God. And it was so strange to me, because I had been in God's presence, but not like that. You know, it was sort of like walking in, and I just felt His presence. And so I remember I walked into the restroom, and I stopped, I froze, and I knew God was there. And I just half raised my hands, and I said, God, what are you doing in the restroom? This is so weird. You know, but when you know God's presence, you know God's presence, and God can be anywhere, and He is everywhere, everywhere, even in the restroom, even in Vegas. God is in Vegas. And I felt so loved by him. I don't know how long I was there. I don't know how long I was there. I knew that I needed to get to work, but I just sort of basked in his presence, and I just said, thank you, God. I wasn't singing. I wasn't playing my instrument. I wasn't in a worship service. I wasn't on my knees praying. And God was there. Weeks later, I'm at work. My first job, I was at a jewelry store, and I was at the computer, and all of a sudden, I don't remember if I was praying in my heart, you know, I don't remember, but I was working, and I just felt as if his presence just fell from the roof over me, and it was so hard to keep the tears from rolling down my face. I was at work. People were there. I was not the only one there. And, you know, and I felt like I'm going to just lose it here because his presence was so powerful. Once again, music was not there. And I love music. Music is powerful. This worship team is amazing, y'all. You know, they're just worshipers. And it's very beautiful to worship through music. But I understood at 20, worship is far more than music. Matt Redman says it. It's more than a song. It's more than a song. And when we live a heart of worship, we understand it's more than a genre. It's more than a style of music. It's more than a segment on the Sunday service. Music is a life surrendered to God. I mean, a heart of worship is a heart that is surrendered to God. The heart of worship is one that delights in God, like Psalms 37:4 says. And the word delight in this verse comes from the Hebrew word onag, which means to be dependent upon God and to derive one's pleasure from him. And so a heart of worship is a heart that delights in God by trusting one's life to him. And at 20, I had to understand what it meant to trust God. And God kept pushing me to music. And I said, I have no idea why you want me to do this. It really is hard for me to stand in front of people. I don't like it. But God knew what he had down the line because he has plans for us. Can you say that with me this morning? God has a plan for me. And it's a custom made, it's a couture custom made plan for each and every one of us. Because like Jody was saying earlier, he loves us and he knows you and you and you and you. And he knows us all and he loves us. And so the heart of worship delights in God. It's when we go from me, what I want, to God, what he already knows is good for us. What he already has for us, his vision, his plan for our lives, his master plan. And that, you know, his everlasting love becomes our delight. Amen. The very essence of worship is to delight in him. It is to have all attention and all focus on our Lord and what delights his heart. It's no longer about us. It's no longer about us. I think that a heart of worship and a heart that delights in the Lord is one that understands who he is. And I just want to quickly talk about three of his attributes. And when we really understand and when we really embrace who he is, and I understand that we will always continue to know him and get to know him more and more and more. But God is all-knowing. There is nothing about us that he does not know. He knows everything about you, and he still loves you. He still forgives you. God knows everything about Amber, and he still loves me. He still forgives me. He has a plan for my life. He knows everything. He's written my story. I love Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. It says, O Lord, you have searched me, and you have known me. And you know when I sit down, and you know when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, you already know it. Behold, O Lord, you know it all, and you have enclosed me behind and before, and you have placed your hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high for me. I cannot reach it. David was a worshiper, amen. God has already written your story. He wants us to trust him now.
He wants us to trust him for that happily ever after ending. Happily ever after is also very different in our minds than in the mind of God. Happily ever after is knowing that this is not our home. Happily ever after is knowing that our home is in heaven. Happily ever after is knowing that, yes, we will go through hard times. We will go through trials, but that it doesn't end there. We're going to walk, oftentimes, through the valley of the shadow of death, but we're just going to walk. It's only going to be for a moment. It's not going to be forever because he has already won our victory. And when we hold on to that, and when we know that, that God has already written our story, that when we know, God, this is going to end good. This is going to end well, Lord. You've given me the victory. This is going to be awesome. Then we begin to walk with that heart of worship. Then we begin to walk with that heart that delights in him. Amen. God has plans that are good for us. So we need to be still. Beautiful ladies of Harvest, we need to be still and just know that he is God, and that he has all control. God is all powerful. He is able to do all he wills. Because of God's power over all else, we can trust him to work out what we feel is seemingly impossible. We can trust him in our situations he's going to work in our situations for his glory and for our good. Amen. He does not change. God does not change. He does not go back on his word. He does not say one thing today and then one thing tomorrow and one thing the next. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He does not change. He does not go back on his word. Amen. In Numbers, we see that God is not a man who lies. We can trust him. We can trust his word. And we need to do that. Trusting in God is something that we do. And trusting in God is not just a one-day decision. It's an everyday decision. And even within your 24-hour day, it's not just, I trust you right now. Maybe down the line at 12 o'clock tomorrow, we still need to trust him. And trusting is something that we do. It's something that we put into practice. It's something that we decide to do because we know that God, according to Numbers, is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Amen. So what he has spoken, will he not make it good? Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." This is our God. And a heart that delights in the Lord is one who understands and wants to continue to know God. A heart that delights in the Lord is too a heart that gives God priority, a heart that longs for God. In our time, that we long for God in our time, we want to give him our time. We want to give him priority in our time. There was a time in my life when I would love like waking up early in the morning and just like David early in the morning before the sun came out and pray. But as life, you know, goes on, you go through different seasons, you know, and children start coming up and it's very different. Amen. Is it just at my home? Because it's really hard for me to get up and kind of, you know, kneel down and pray when I have to get, you know, two children off to school across town. But when we give God our time, when we long to be alone with him, when we long to set time aside for him, when we say, God, I want to have a date with you. I want to have a date with you. I want to be with you. I long to be with you. Ask yourself this morning, do you long to be with God? Isaiah 26 says, my soul yearns for you in the night, and in the morning my spirit longs for you. Are we there yet? We need to be honest with each other. Are we there yet? Do we long to be with God? A heart that delights in the Lord is one that gives priority to God with our gifts and our resources. Amen. When we serve each other with what God has given us. When we're generous, when we give of our money, of our time, of our expertise, of our support, because we understand that everything is his. When we get to the point where we realize everything belongs to God, nothing belongs to me, and everything that I have is by grace and grace alone. It's not because of the family that I come from. It's not because of the money that my great-grandfather had that left to my grandfather, that left to my father, and now I have it. It's because of my family. It's because of my hard work. It's because I am studious and I work hard at school and I graduated and I work hard, and it's because of my hard labor. And that's, to a certain degree, it's true, because you're working. You're working for something and you're sowing. But when you realize God gave me the strength to work, God gave me the ability to go to school, God gave me parents to support me to go to school, God gave me teachers who spoke life into me and encouraged me along the way. God, when you give God priority in your life and you acknowledge him in everything, you begin to walk with that heart of worship that delights in him. Amen. So I want you to ask yourself, we talked a little bit weeks ago. This is going to be sort of like lab work later on. It's going to be powerful and amazing. But I want you to ask yourself this. Be honest. Because nothing, we can't hide anything from God. So now I say to my husband, I'm just going to be honest because God already knows what I'm thinking. So here it goes. Book, you know. So ask yourself, what do you think about the most? And if you don't want to ask yourself that question right now, write it down and ask yourself later. What do I think about the most? What are my thoughts concentrated on the most? What do I spend most of my time, money, thoughts doing? What do I spend my money on? That would tell you a lot. That will tell you a lot. Where and who do I long to be with the most? I tell my husband, I like you so much. You're my favorite person. Like, you better hang out with me in heaven. Like, seriously, Israel, you better not, you know, just forget about me. And I want us to hang together. But when we ask ourselves these questions and we're honest with one another, when we're honest with ourselves and we go before God, we can see where we're at. If we're giving God the priority. A heart that delights in the Lord is one that is grateful. Jody spoke a lot about it today during worship. Nothing will change our attitudes or our relationships or our response to circumstances like Thanksgiving. When you count your blessings no matter what, when you say, God, thank you, because even though I'm in this situation, you're with me. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Gratitude is responding in humility for all that we have received, for all that Christ has already done, and is the very best way to approach the whole of our lives. Once again, we don't have what we have because of our parents, because of our hard work. It's because of God. It's because of his goodness. And a heart of worship delights in this truth. You know, when it's hard to be grateful, I've been in moments when I have been very ungrateful. I've had to really understand that there are moments when all that comes out of my mouth is, I'm thinking in Spanish now. This happens to me in my church. I talk to them in English, and then I have to translate to Spanish, and now I'm thinking in Spanish. But when all I think about is just negative things, or when all I can see is just the negative and the negative and the negative. But God wants us to be grateful. And the Holy Spirit, even when we don't feel very grateful, when we feel completely ungrateful, the opposite of grateful, the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to be thankful in all things. And it's so awesome that he's in us. He's in us. The Spirit of God is in us, and he helps us in everything. So God, Spirit of God, help me to be grateful. Help me to see with your eyes, not with my eyes, because all I see is just blah, blah, blah. But I want to see with your eyes, and I want to be grateful. Even as I walk through the valley of shadow of death, there's things to be grateful for, because God is molding something in us. God is working something in us. I'm thinking now about James 1, that we need to have joy when we're going through difficult times. Doesn't it say that? Because It's not the end product right there. No, he's working patience in us. He's working good things in us. He's developing us in areas that we need to be developed. And I love the story of David. I love reading about David. When he was facing death, when he was filled with pain, when his own son turned on him, when everything was just going wrong, David still, his voice and his words still resounded with thanksgiving because David delighted in God. Daniel chapter 6, when he found out that they were plotting evil against him, people were very jealous of him for where God had placed him, and they just wanted him out of the picture. They wanted to erase him from the planet Earth. And you know what he did? He did not start griping against God. He did not start just shaking in fear. He did what he had done before, the Bible says, in Daniel 6. He got down on his knees and he prayed like he had done before. And he giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. He just learned they wanted to kill him. And he went to be with God. He kneeled before him, giving him thanks, just like he had done before. Y'all, Daniel knew who his Lord was. Daniel knew who his God was, and he trusted in him. Daniel delighted in God. So please remember to enter through his gates with thanksgiving in all circumstances, no matter what, all the time, and by grace. Amen. So an example of this prayer could be, thank you, God, because although I do not know your big picture, I know that you have one. I know that maybe all I see is what I'm going through right now, but you see everything, and you have a great, amazing picture written out for me. My entire life is in the palm of your mighty hands, and I can be in peace knowing this truth. Amen. And finally, a heart of worship is a heart that delights in God by surrendering one's will to him. When we get to that point, like when I was 20 that I was explaining to y'all, I had to say, God, I'm here. I really want to do your will. I want to do everything, even my college career is in your hands. I want to live what you want me to live. I want to do what you want me to do. The best example of this is Jesus. When he was about to be arrested, Jesus went off to pray, and he said these words, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. But then he says, yet not my will, but yours be done. And we know what happened. He suffered greatly for you and for me. And he lived out his Father's will. And it wasn't easy. He lived out his Father's will always, all the time, and in everything. Can you say that with me? Always, all the time, in everything, in every moment, no matter what, may his will be done in us. This, as you all know, I'm pretty sure you all know, it's not always comfortable. It's not always fun or exciting. It isn't. It's hard. Sometimes we have to go through tough, tough moments. But may his will be done. And may his plans be lived out through our lives. And may we see his glory manifest in us. Amen. The heart of worship delights in God. Jesus did God's will. And through that, through doing God's will, he worshiped God. He delighted in God. The Bible says that he withdrew once again to be with him. He spent time with him. And when he said, God, may your will be done in my life, the Bible says this. He knelt down, Jesus knelt down, and he prayed. And the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 43, now an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. This is not in our strength. This is not in our might or in our knowledge or in our multiple talents. This is in his strength. And when we worship, when we delight in God, we delight in his strength. And what I was feeling from the Spirit of God when I was preparing this was to have a moment of prayer. And when I've been through very difficult moments, I have said to God, God, you are my strong tower. You are my strength. I can't do this myself. I need you. And I finished college, and I majored in music, and I stood every recital. And I believe that he was preparing me for the future. I believe that he was preparing me to continue to walk and trust in him. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I no longer want to trust the ideas of Satan or his thoughts for my life. I want to trust you, and I want my ear to be tuned to your truth. I want my ear to be tuned to your voice. And I don't want to be like Eve. And I love the way Stacy Eldridge says this. Eve had to trust somebody. She didn't trust the maker of heaven and earth. She did not trust the God who made all of the fruitful trees. She trusted the serpent. And I want to pray this morning that God's strength will be over each and every one of us. Will you bow your head? Will you pray with me? I want to pray this morning, God, that your strength will be in each and every one of us. To be able to live a life of worship. Worship, Lord, you have taught us is a lifestyle, God. And I pray that your strength may be powerful, Lord, manifesting powerfully in our lives. That this heart that worships you, Lord, will delight in you. That will trust you, Lord. That will bow its will to you, God. For you are strong. You are made strong in our weakness. You are glorified in our weakness. Thank you for you never leave us, and you will never forsake us. You will be with us always, and we can rejoice. Rejoice. And another thing that God put in my heart to pray for us to have a burning desire to be with God and not at arm's length. Sometimes we get used to the knowing that God is there. I am one of those people. I got used to just going through the motion of life. Knowing, God, you're there. Thank you. Thank you for being there for me. And God was showing me that he wants to be with us intimately. And this does not happen only when we are on our knees. This happens 24 hours a day. When we realize that he is with us always, always, always. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for a burning desire to be with you, that you may light up that desire to be with you, and not at arm's length, not just getting used to knowing that you are with us, but that we want to be close, Lord. Like a baby loves to be in his mama's arms. A baby loves to be in his father's arms. And it's not just good enough for that baby to know that his mom is there. That he can see his mom, that he can see his dad. No, he feels peace and he feels encouraged and he feels loved when he is in his parents' arms, Lord. And you want us to do that, Lord. You want us to desire to be in your arms, to grow in intimacy with you, Lord. Not to just get used to knowing that you are there, but you want us to be close to you, God. And you want to be close to us, Lord. And so I just pray that you draw us to you, Lord, that you draw us and that you awaken, Lord, this morning, starting this morning, just a burning desire, Lord, to seek you out and to know that in every situation, in every moment of every day, at work, at school, at home, changing diapers, anything that you have us to do, Lord, that we can do it with a glad heart, that we can do it with a joyful heart, knowing that you are right there, and that everything that we do, we can choose to do it, Lord, with an act of worship, Lord, with a heart of worship, with a heart that delights in you, Lord. And I pray this over every woman here today, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you.